الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to continue this evening in this lecture number 19, our series of lectures concerning the explanation of Lum'atul I'tiqad al-Hadi ila Sabil al-Rashad by al-Imam Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Qudama rahimahullah. In last week's lecture, we completed those matters which were listed under the title of the things that a Muslim is required to believe in concerning that which has been reported to us from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether of those matters of the past history of the past nations or things to come in the future. And the last of those things which Al-Imam Ibn Qudam rahimahullah mentioned of what we are required to have faith in from what has been reported to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is related to al-jannah wal nar. And here Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentions in point number 67, wal jannatu wal naru makhluqatan la tafniyan, fal jannah ma'wa awliyaihi wal nar iqabun li a'da'ihi wa ahlul jannah fiha mukhalladun. That the paradise and the hellfire are two created entities which will never end or cease to exist. The Jannah, it is the home or resting place for the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, and the hellfire, it is a punishment for His enemies, yani for those who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people of the Jannah will remain in it forever. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 74 and 75, إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ في عذاب جهنم خالدون. That verily the mujrimun, the criminals, the wrongdoers, disbelievers and pagans, they will be in the punishment of hellfire, abiding in it forever. Concerning this point, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, gave us the definition of al-jannah wal-nar linguistically and technically, and he said that the definition of Al-Jannah, it is a garden containing many trees. This is the linguistic meaning of Al-Jannah, Al-Bustan. And the legal meaning, or the shar'i, technical meaning in the deen, it is the place which Allah has prepared in the next life for the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, the righteous and the pious. As for the fire and nar, he says that linguistically the meaning of an-nar is well known. The meaning of an-nar, fire, is well known, and its shar'i, technical, legal, Islamic meaning, it is the place, the home, the destination which Allah has prepared in the next life for the disbelievers, for those who disbelieve. And then he said that these two places, the Jannah and the Nar, are already created. And he mentioned the proofs, such as the saying of Allah in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 133, عِدَّةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that it has been prepared, yani the paradise has been prepared for the people of taqwa. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 24, وَعِدَّةٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, meaning the hellfire, it has been prepared for the disbelievers. And the fact that it has already been prepared, this is a proof that it already exists. And also he mentioned a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ actually saw the paradise. He actually saw it, and he said that if he were to take some fruit from that which he saw in the paradise, if he had taken it for the people, they would have been eating from it until forever. Yani it would have lasted forever. Then he mentions the proofs concerning the paradise and the hellfire, that they are forever, that they will remain forever. And from amongst them is the ayah in Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter 98, verse 8, that the reward for the righteous, جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدَنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْدِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Yani, that the paradise under which rivers flow, that they would abide in it forever, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, that the believers or the righteous would stay in the paradise forever. And likewise, he mentions the proof, from amongst many proofs, the proof that the hellfire is also permanent, and the disbelievers, the pagans who died on kufr, they would also remain in hellfire forever. And he mentions in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 169 and 168-169, that Allah would never guide the disbelievers except to a way, illa tariqa jahannama khalidina fiha abada, except to a way to the hellfire which they would remain in forever. And he mentioned a number of other verses, and then he talked about the paradise and the hellfire, where they are, that the paradise is in a high place and the hellfire is in the lowest place, the lowest of low places, and the proofs concerning that. And he talked about the people of paradise and the people of hellfire, and the proofs concerning them, that the people of paradise are the people of iman and taqwa, the people who have faith and piety, and the people of hellfire are the people of kufr, the people who disbelieve, and the wretched, those who disobeyed Allah. The next point Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentioned in point number 68, concerning the ending of death, that when the people enter the paradise and the hellfire, there would be no more death after that. And he mentions this point, وَيُؤْتَى بِالْمَوْتِ فِي سُورَةٍ فِي سُورَةِ كَبْشِ أَمْلَحِ فَيُذْبَحُ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ ثُمَّ يُقَالُ يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ خُلُودٌ وَلَا مَوْتِ وَيَا أَهْلَ النَّارِ خُلُودٌ وَلَا مَوْتِ. Yani that death would be brought forth in the form or the shape of a black and white ram, and as some of the translators translated, beautiful ram, and it would be slaughtered, it would be killed in a place between the paradise and the hellfire, and then it would be said, or it would be called out, O people of paradise, khuludun, eternity, wala maut, and there's no more death. And the same to the people of the hellfire, O people of hellfire, khuludun wala maut, eternity, and there's no more death. Then the Shaykh mentioned in his explanation the definition of death, and that everyone has to die, and that even though death is something that is not a physical thing that you can touch or see, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a physical form, the form of a ram, so that the people could see it, and it would be placed in between the paradise and the hellfire so that all of the people could see it, and then it would be slaughtered or killed, so that from that point on people would remain in their place in the paradise or in the hellfire forever without being overcome by death. Then we went on to a new chapter, the chapter concerning the rights of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, حقوق النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وأصحابه. And here Imam al-Qudama mentioned the two points that we took, point number 69 and 70. He talked about the Prophet ﷺ and his virtues, merits, and superiority over the rest of creation and even the rest of the prophets and messengers, in which he mentions وَمُحَمَّدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَسَيِّدَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ لَا يَصِحُّ إِيمَانَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِرِسَالَتِهِ وَيَشْهَدْ بِنَبُوَّتِهِ. That Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah, he is the seal of the prophets, he is the master of the messengers, and no person's iman would be correct until they believed or had faith in his messengership, his message, and testified to his prophethood. وَلَا يَقْضِي بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا بِشَفَاعَتِهِ وَلَا يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ أُمَّةٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ دُخُولُ أُمَّتِهِ. And also he said that the affairs between the people will not be decided on the day of resurrection except after the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no nation or community or followers of any other prophet would enter the paradise until after the entry of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also of the merits and virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his superiority over the others. In point number 70, Al-Imam Ibn Khudam rahimahullah mentions that he was sahib liwa al-hamd, but he is the owner, the one who possessed the banner or the flag of praise, wal-maqam al-mahmud, and the honored, praiseworthy station or status or position, wal-hawd al-mawrud, and the watering place or the fountain to which many, many, many people will come to drink on Yawm al-Qiyamah, which we discussed previously. وهو إمام النبيين وخطيبهم وصاحب شفاعتهم وأمته خير الأمم وأصحابه خير أصحاب الأنبياء عليهم السلام. And also the virtue of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is that he is the Imam of all the Prophets, the leader of the Prophets and their spokesmen, and he is the one who possesses their intercession, and his Ummah is the best of all the nations, and his companions are the best of all companions of any other of the Prophets alayhim salam. Here the Shaykh in his explanation discussed the superiority or the preference and excellence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Prophet, the messengers. Yani that the best of all creation with Allah are the messengers, ar-rusul. And then after them, an-nabiyun, the prophets. And then as-siddiqun, the truthful. Then as-shuhada, the martyrs. Then as-salihun, the righteous. And these are mentioned in the Qur'an in this order in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 69. And then he said, the best of the messengers are the best of creation, even before the prophets and so on, and the best of the messengers is Ulul Azm, those who had firm resolution from amongst the messengers, and there are five, including Nuh, and Ibrahim, and Musa, and Isa, and Muhammad, alayhim salatu wassalam. May Allah's salat and salam be upon all of them. And he mentions the places where this is the proof for such in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 7, and also in Surah Al-Shura, chapter 42, verse 13. And then from amongst Ulul Azm, the firmly resolute messengers, he said the best and most excellent of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is based on his saying that I am the master of all of humanity on Yawm al-Qiyamah, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And then he said after him, the second station of preference or superiority after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then Musa alayhi salam, and then without making any certain statement concerning the preference between the last two, Nuh and Isa, that both of them have their merits and virtues. And then he mentions, yani he lists those merits and virtues of the Prophet ﷺ that Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah mentioned in the text of the book, that he is the seal of the Prophet, that he is the leader of the messengers, that no one's faith would be accepted except by believing in his risala, his messengership or his message, and that the judgment would not begin on Yawm al-Qiyamah except by his shafa'ah, intercession, and that his ummah will be the first to enter the paradise, and he would be the one who possessed the flag of praise, and that the place of honor, al-maqam al-mahmud, and al-hawd al-mawrud, the fountain or watering place that would be greater than all of the other fountains of the other prophets, and also that he would be the imam of the prophets, the leader of the prophets, their spokesman, the one who possessed the intercession. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he would be the one who would be allowed to intercede for it to begin. And also that his ummah is the best of all nations, with the proofs for each of these points. Tonight, insha'Allah, we'd like to proceed with the following points concerning the companions, as-sahaba, ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some reference to their position and status and the superiority of some of them over others. Here Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah mentions in point number 71 وأفضل أمته أبو بكر الصديق، ثم عمر الفاروق، ثم عثمان ذو النورين، ثم علي المرتضى رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. That the best or most preferable of the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. Then Umar al-Faruq رضي الله عنه. Then third in order of preference and superiority and merit and virtue is Uthman ذو النورين, the possessor of two lights. He was the husband of two of the daughters of the Messenger of Allah successively. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with all of them. The proof of this, as Al-Imam Ibn Qudama says, the proof of this, لما روى عبد الله ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. This is based on what has been reported or transmitted by Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said, قال كنا نقول والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حي. We used to say at the time when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was living, and he was living, which means that it was with his approval. كنا نقول والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حي أفضل هذه الأمة بعد النبيها أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي فيبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا ينكره. We used to say, meaning the companions and the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say amongst themselves, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was living and aware of it. They used to say that the best of this ummah after, يعني meaning with the exception of its Prophet, after the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best of this ummah is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And this statement or saying of the companions amongst themselves, he says, فيبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا ينكره. That it used to reach, يعني the news of this statement reached the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he came to know it, and he didn't reject it, deny it, or refute it. يعني he agreed to it. And we said that of those items or those things that are classified as from the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is not only what he said and did, but also what he witnessed or came to know about and approved of. He didn't reject it or speak against it. So this means that it is his silent approval. The fact that he didn't deny it, it means that he is in agreement with it. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is in agreement with this statement. The next point, point number 72, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah says, وصحت الرواية عن علي رضي الله عنه أنه قال خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر ثم عمر ولو شئت لسميت الثالث أو ولو شئت لسميت الثالث. Said that it has been authentically reported from Ali رضي الله عنه that he said the best of this ummah after its prophet, after Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, is Abu Bakr and then Umar. And if you willed, or if I willed, I would have mentioned the third, يعني the third person in preference or superiority, who was Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. And if you will, if you like, I can mention even after Abu Bakr Umar, who is third in preference. And this has been authentically reported from Ali رضي الله عنه. And we said that a statement of a companion is referred to in Mustalah Hadith by the expression mawquf. This is a mawquf. يعني الخبر mawquf. It is a report that is mawquf. It is a statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib and it is a proof, it is also a proof of the deviation of those who gave preference to Ali over Abu Bakr and Umar. By his own words, Ali radiallahu anhu said the best of this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr and Umar. So those people who said that Ali deserves to be the Khalifa instead of Abu Bakr Umar, that they stole it from him, is clearly refuted by Ali himself radiallahu anhu. This athar, this statement, which is mawquf, is reported by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad and others with authentic chains of narration. The next statement of Imam Ibn Qudama, point number 73, وَرَوَى أَبُوَ الدَّرْدَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهُ قَالْ مَا طَلَعَتْ الشَّمْسُ وَلَا غَرَبَتْ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى أَفْضَلِ مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Abu al-Darda radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is reported that he narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said that the sun has not risen nor has it set upon anyone better than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, with the exception of al-Nabiyyin, the Prophets, and al-Mursaleen, the Messengers. Yani, outside of the Prophets and the Messengers, there was no one better than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But this statement, it is not authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu al-Darda, it is reported that he said from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore it's marfu'. And we said that a marfu' statement, it means it's a statement attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's not sufficient to consider it as authentic just because it's attributed to the Prophet. But we have to look at the chain of narratives. Who heard it from Abu al-Darda and who heard it from him on down the line, to try to determine if the chain is authentic or not. And the scholars of hadith have declared the chain leading to Abu al-Darda to be unauthentic. And here we can note, some people become confused when they read in a book that Abu al-Darda, for example, radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Abu Bakr, or Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhum, reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something, and then the scholars said it's not authentic. How can it not be authentic when Abu Bakr said it, when Umar said it, when Abu Darda said it? It's not, the question is not Abu Darda or Abu Hurairah. The question is who claimed after him, who claimed they heard it from him. We are not looking at the Sahabi. We have no question about their truthfulness. But it is those who reported it from them, who claimed that Sahabi said such and such and so and so, that is under question. Yani, the generation after Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and those who came after them. So this is an unauthentic statement. It is not accepted, but the proof of the superiority of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the proofs are many besides this. And then Imam al-Qudama says in point number 74, concerning Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, وَهُوَ أَحَقُّ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ بِالْخِلَافَةِ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he is the most deserving and the one who had more right to be the Khalifa, al-Khilafa, the right of rulership. He was more deserving and he was more entitled to it than anyone of the creation of Allah, of any of the creatures, of all of humanity. He had more right to it after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than anyone. And this is also a refutation of those who claim that Ali or anyone else had more right to it. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was the one most entitled to the Khilafah, the right of rulership after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِفَضْلِهِ, first due to his merit and virtue and superiority over the other companions, وَسَابِقَاتِهِ, and also his precedence, yani being the first one to enter Islam ahead of the other companions, his precedence. وتقديم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له في الصلاة على جميع الصحابة رضي الله عنهم, and also the fact that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave preference to him in leading the prayers over all of the other companions. In the time of the sickness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he chose Abu Bakr over all others to lead the prayer. That means the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself declared the superiority of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه over others. And likewise, another proof of his right to the Khilafah is وَإِجْمَعَ السَّحَابَةِ عَلَى تَكْدِيمِهِ وَمُبَايَعَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَجْمَعْهُمْ عَلَى ضَلَالَةٍ. And also a proof of the right of Khilafah to Abu Bakr is the consensus, إِجْمَعَ of the Sahaba, in giving him preference, declaring that he was the preferable one to be the Khalifa, and the fact that they gave the pledge of allegiance, the bay'ah, they gave it to Abu Bakr by consensus. This is also a proof of the right of Abu Bakr to the Khilafah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never have allowed or caused the companions to reach an agreement or consensus on something that is astray or misguidance or error, dalala. So this is also a proof that he was the most rightful to the Khilafah or the rulership of the Muslim Ummah after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In point number 75, Imam Ibn Qudam rahimahullah says, ثُمَّ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ عُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنْهُ لِفَضْلِهِ وَأَهْدِي أَبِي بَكْرْ إِلَيْهِ. And after Abu Bakr, the one who had the right to Khilafah and the one who was most preferable of the Ummah, after Abu Bakr was Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنْهُ, due to his virtues and merits and superior characteristics, and also due to the fact that Abu Bakr Siddiq assigned or elected or delegated the authority of rulership to Umar ibn al-Khattab before his death. Yani Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was the one who delegated Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to be the Khalifa after him. Point number 76, ثُمَّ عُثْمَان radiallahu anhu لِتَقْدِيمْ أَهْلِ الشُّورَ لَهُ. Then the next in line, being the most rightful to the Khilafah after Abu Bakr and Umar, was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, due to the fact that he was given preference by the Ahl al-Shura or Ashab al-Shura, those people who were elected to be the council, consultative council. They gave preference after lengthy discussion amongst themselves. They gave preference to Uthman over the others, and amongst them was Ali. Ali was amongst them, amongst the Ahl al-Shura or the Ashab al-Shura. Amongst them was Ali, as well as Uthman and Talha and Zubair and Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, from amongst the Al-Ashra al-Mubashirun ibn Jannah, the 10 people promised paradise. And those people selected Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu over the others. In point number 77, Imam al-Qudam rahimahullah says, ثُمَّ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لِفَضْلِهِ وَإِجْمَاءَ أَهْلِ أَصْرِهِ عَلَيْهِ. And the right next in order was for Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, due to his virtues and merits, which are well known, and also due to the fact that there was consensus of the people of his time, there was consensus on the fact that he was the most rightful to take the position of Khilafah, or to be the Khalifa of the Muslims after Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Then Imam al-Qudama says in point number 78, and next to the last point of this section, وَهَؤُلَاءِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَهْدِيُونَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِيهِمْ عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. Here Imam al-Qudama says that these four mentioned people, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, they are al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyun. Al-khulafa al-rashidun al-mahdiyun. They were the rightly guided and the true guides, the khalifas, the rulers who were rightly guided, and they were also true guides for the people in their leadership, in leading the people. They are the ones who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about when he said, it is obligatory upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin min ba'di, and the rightly guided khalifas who will come after me. It is obligatory for you to follow my sunnah and their sunnah. And he said, hold on to it. Agru. Ya'ani. عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا means to cling to, بِالنَّوَاجِدْ, with your molar teeth, to hold on to it, يعني firmly hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. And the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, it is none other than the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They in fact didn't bring anything new, except they followed the exact example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The final point of this section, الإمام ابن قدامة says, وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الخلافة من بعد 30 سنة، فكان آخرها خلافة علي رضي الله عنه. And the khilafa, or the position of rulership or authority over the Muslim ummah, after me, it will be for 30 years. Yani the khilafa, the rightly guided khalifas, the proper system of rulership before any deviation or corruption would come, the khilafa, the rulership of the Muslims, it would last for 30 years. The people who ruled during that time would actually follow exactly in the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ in every way. Their guidance and their example and justice and so on. It would last for 30 years. And this is authentic hadith reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, al-Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i. Here, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentions in his commentary concerning these points related specifically to the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the rightly guided Khalifas, and their preference over others, and the order of their preference, and their virtues and merits. He says, first, Fada'il al-Sahaba, yani the virtues, excellences, or superiorities of the companions in general. First, he mentions the ta'rif, or definition of Sahabi, and he said, Man ijtama'a bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan bihi wa mata ala dhalik. Yani there are 3 points in the definition of Sahabi which we mentioned in Mustalah Hadith. The first of them is the one who met the Prophet ﷺ, either by seeing him or hearing him or being in his presence, mu'minan, as a believer, mu'minan bihi, wa mata ala dhalik, and dying on iman. There are 3 points. So if someone met the Prophet ﷺ before they were a believer, or they met him not as a believer, even if they became a believer later, then they are not considered as Sahabi. And likewise, anyone who met the Prophet ﷺ as a believer but apostated and died on kufr, they are not a Sahabi. But if they met him while they were believing in him and then they died in Islam on iman, then they would be considered as Sahabi. Then the Shaykh says, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they are the best of the companions of all prophets. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرَنِي, the best of humanity, the best of all people is my generation. And this is a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasa'i, Al-Hakim fil Mustadrak, Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Hibban, and many other scholars. And it is an authentic hadith. The isnad of this particular report is Hassan. The isnad is Hassan, but there are many other shawahid or supporting narrations which brought the same meaning, and due to that it is raised up to the position of as-sahih li ghayrihi. It is a Hassan hadith, the isnad of it is Hassan, but it is raised up to the position of sahih due to supporting evidences which yani make it stronger. And also this hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي, is also a mutawatir hadith. It is a mutawatir hadith that is reported through many, many, many chains of narration, and not only through Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, but also Imran ibn Hussein, Abu Huraira, and others, رضي الله عنهم اجمعين. The fact that it is mutawatir was mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, in his introduction to Al-Isabah, بتمييز الصحابة, his book concerning the biographies of the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, الإصابة. In the introduction of that book, he said that this particular hadith, it is متواتر. Then the Shaykh says, the best of صحابة, the best of all of the صحابة is المهاجرون. The best of صحابة is the مهاجرون, the immigrants, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, due to the fact that they combine a number of virtues. From amongst them is hijrah. They made hijrah from Mecca to Medina, leaving their land and everything behind. One nasrah, and they supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani they combined these two characteristics, which other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst the Ansar, they had the virtue of supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and defending him. But they didn't have the virtue of the performance of al-hijrah, migration from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the Muslims. So the muhajirun have first preference and then the Ansar radiallahu anhum ajma'in. From amongst the Muhajireen, the best of the Muhajireen is the four Raydi Ghayri Khalifas, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Here the Shaykh mentions briefly about each of the four Khulafa al-Rashideen. Abu Bakr, he is known as As-Siddiq due to his lack of hesitancy in confirming whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people. His name is Abdullah ibn Uthman ibn Amir, and he is from the tribe of Taymi ibn Marra ibn Ka'ab, and he was the first of those who believed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from amongst the men. He was his companion in his migration, and when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he was his sole companion, and he was also his replacement in the salat. In the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of prayer was Abu Bakr Siddiq. And likewise in Hajj, in the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Abu Bakr Siddiq to lead the people in Hajj, and he was his Khalifa, and he was the one who came into the rulership or authority after him. The Khalifa means the one who comes after. So the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is first and foremost Abu Bakr Siddiq, and then those who came after. He says that Abu Bakr Siddiq, a number of the 10 people promised paradise, 5 of the 10 people promised paradise came to Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr Siddiq. If we think about the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that man da'a ila al-huda, and whoever calls to al-huda, guidance, that they will have the reward of whoever follows them, without the person who follows them in doing good, without the reward being diminished in any way. Think of the reward of Abu Bakr Siddiq. 5 of the 10 people who were promised paradise came to Islam through him. This is one of the great virtues of Abu Bakr Siddiq. From amongst those 5 was Uthman al-Zubayr, Talha Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Abu Bakr Siddiq died in the year Jumada al-Akhira, in the 13th year after the Hijrah, and he was 63 years old. And then he says that these 5 of the ten who were promised paradise who came to Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr Siddiq, along with Abu Bakr himself and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Zayd ibn Haritha, they are the الثمانية الذين سبقوا الناس بالإسلام. يعني they are the 8 people who were the first to come to Islam. يعني of the 8 people who were the first to come to Islam, 5 of them came to Islam to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Subhanallah. The second, Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه, he is Abu Hafs al-Faruq. Umar ibn Khattab from Bani Adi ibn Ka'ab, he became a Muslim in the 6th year after the missioning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After about 40 men and 11 women had become Muslims. Yani Umar ibn Khattab came to Islam later, but at that time still not many people had become Muslims. Approximately 40 men and 11 women had become Muslims before him. And the Muslims were indeed pleased and overjoyed with his entry into Islam. And after his coming to Islam, the Muslims were allowed, or they were able, due to the strength and the power of Umar ibn Khattab, they were able to openly display their Islam in Mecca for the first time. Abu Bakr Siddiq appointed Umar as the Khalifa after him, giving preference to him over the rest of the Ummah. And he fulfilled the task of Khilafah, for the ruler of the Muslims, perfectly and in the best way, until he was killed shaheedan, as a martyr, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, in the 23rd year of the Hijrah, and he also died to the age of 63, radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan, he is Abu Abdullah ibn Nurain. Uthman ibn Affan from Bani Umayyah, ibn Abd Shams, ibn Abd Manaf, and he became a Muslim at an early time before the Prophet ﷺ entered Dar al-Arqam. And before the Prophet ﷺ had taken Dar al-Arqam as a place of refuge and a meeting place for the Muslims. Uthman was a rich man, very wealthy, and he was given the position of Khilafah after Umar al-Khattab by agreement of the Ahl al-Shura, the people of consultation who were given the authority to select or to elect the Khalifa after Umar. And he also fulfilled the responsibilities of Khilafa honorably, nobly, and as expected from someone of his status and honor, a great and close companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who the Messenger of Allah ﷺ married two of his daughters to him, and he one after the death of the other. He also fulfilled his responsibilities of Khilafa until, like Umar ibn Khattab, he was killed shaheedan as a martyr in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, in the 35th year after the Hijrah. And Uthman died at the age of 90, according to some of the scholars, or near that age. The last of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, Ali, he is Abu al-Hasan, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And his father Abu Talib, his name was Abd Manaf ibn Abdul Muttalib. And Ali was the first of the young, of the youth, he was the first to become a Muslim. Of his virtues, or amongst his virtues, is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ gave him the flag on the day of Khaybar. He was the flag bearer on that day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory at his hands. He was giving the bay'ah to be the Khalifa after the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhuma, and he was the legal Khalifa until he was also killed shaheedan as a martyr in the month of Ramadan in the 40th year after the Hijrah at the age of 63 radiallahu anhum wa radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Here the Shaykh, after mentioning the virtues and merits of these, the foremost of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the foremost of the Muhajireen, and the Muhajireen are the foremost of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said of these four, the best of them is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali, based on the hadith mentioned by the author, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that we used to say amongst the people, he said, كان نخير بين الناس في الزمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنخير أبو بكر ثم عمر ابن الخطاب ثم عثمان ابن عفان. That we used to choose amongst the people in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who was the best, and we used to choose Abu Bakr, and then Umar ibn al-Khattab, and then Uthman ibn Affan. And this is reported by Al-Bukhari. The exact expression as it came in Al-Bukhari is that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we didn't used to go past Abu Bakr. Yani no one used to be given preference over Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And then we used to leave the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, not giving preference to one over another. Yani the first preference was given to Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. This is the narration, the wording of the narration as it came in Al-Bukhari. Then the Shaykh mentions another report that's in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, and that one we used to, yani the one mentioned by the author, we used to say while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living, the best of the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ after him is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And Some added words are in the narration of the riwayah of Tabarani, in which he said, فَيَسْمَعَ ذَلِكَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَا يَنْكُرُهُ. Yani similar to the wording in the text of the book, that the Prophet ﷺ heard this, or he used to hear this, such a statement, and he didn't used to deny it or reject it. The next point, as yani he follows the text of the book, he said, the most rightful of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ to the Khilafah, or the right of rulership after the Prophet ﷺ, was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because he was the best of them and he was the first of them to Islam, and because the Prophet ﷺ gave him preference or precedence in leading the Salat over the other companions. These are some of the reasons why he was more entitled to the right of Khilafah. And also because the other companions of the Prophet ﷺ also agreed by consensus that he had the preference, and they gave him the pledge of allegiance. And as Imam ibn Qudamah said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have left the companions of the Prophet to agree by consensus, by unanimous agreement, on something that was error. After that was Umar radiallahu anhu, because he was the most preferable of the preference of Umar for the Khilafah over the others. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu, due to his virtues, the virtues of Umar, of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and the fact that he was given preference by the people of the consultative council, Ahl al-Shura or Ashab al-Shura, and they are those who are mentioned from amongst the 10 people promised paradise, Ali and Uthman and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Talha and Subayr, Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf. Next in preference was Ali radiallahu anhu, due to his virtues and merits and the consensus of the people of his time that he had the right to Khilafah. And then the Shaykh says that these four, they are the rightly guided Khalifas that are mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ in the Hadith, that is incumbent upon you to take my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas after me, hold on to it strictly or sternly or yani firmly with your molar teeth. Concerning the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned by the author, Al-Khilafa Ba'di Thalathuna Sana, that the Khilafah after me, after the Prophet ﷺ will last for 30 years, as reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sunnah of Abu Dawud and the Tirmidhi and others, and that Hadith, it is a Hasan, or the Isnad of the Hadith is Hasan, as declared by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. He said that, Imam ibn Qudamah said that the end of that Khilafah was the Khilafah of Ali, yani the end of the 30 years was Ali. And as we know, actually the 30 years was completed in the time of his son. Here, the Shaykh says, concerning this statement of Imam ibn Qudamah, that the end of the Khilafah was the Khilafah of Ali, he says, it is as though Imam ibn Qudamah has considered the Khilafah of Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu to be a part of the Khilafah of his father, Ali radiallahu anhu. Yani he considered the Khilafah of Ali to be continued in the short period of time that his son Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa of the Muslims. Or perhaps he didn't consider it due to the fact that Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu yani succeeded or gave up his position of Khilafah when there was a conflict between the Muslims, in order to save the Muslims from bloodshed and to avoid disunity of the Muslims, as it was prophesied by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would do. Here the Shaykh mentions the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, its period of time was 2 years, 3 months, and 9 nights. 2 years, 3 months, and 9 nights from the 13th of Rabi al-Awwal in the 11th year of the Hijrah until the 22nd of Jumada al-Akhirah in the from the 11th year to the 13th year. of the Hijrah, yani from the 11th year of the Hijrah until the 13th year of the Hijrah, 2 years, 3 months, and 9 nights. The Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was 10 years, 6 months, and 3 days from the 23rd of Jumada al-Akhirah in the 13th year of the Hijrah until the 26th of Dhul-Hijjah in the 23rd year of the Hijrah. 10 years, 6 months, and 3 days. The Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was similar to the Khilafah of Umar. It was 12 years. Minus 12 days. Yani 12 days short of 12 years. From the 1st of Muharram in the 24th year of the Hijrah until the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah in the 35th year of the Hijrah. Yani almost exactly 12 years. 12 days short. And finally, the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu, which was 4 years and 9 months from the 19th of Dhul-Hijjah in the 35th year of the Hijrah until the 19th of Ramadan in the 40th year of the Hijrah. Yani exactly 4 years and 9 months. So the completion was the total of the Khilafah of the four Raydi Ghayri Khalifas was 29 years, 6 months, and 4 days. 29 years, 6 months, and 4 days. Yani just about 6 months short of the 30 years prophesied by the Prophet ﷺ. And that, the Khilafah of the four Raydi Ghayri Khalifas was followed by Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma on the day of the death of his father in the month of Rabi al-Awwal in the 41st year of the Hijrah. And he gave up the Khilafah, and he willingly gave up the position of Khilafah to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And this was a manifestation of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Al-Khilafah ba'di 30 sana." And also, yani he completed the 30 years, that is Al-Hasan ibn Ali. And then this is also a manifestation of the statement, or it was, in his giving up the position of Khalifa or Khilafa, it was also a fulfillment of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu, "إن ابني هذا سيد ولعل الله أن يصلح به فئتين عظيمتين من المسلمين." He said that verily this son of mine, meaning his grandson Al-Hasan, this grandson of mine, he is a master, سيد, يعني a leader of the people, of the Muslims, and that it is expected and hoped that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني it will happen for sure. Allah made him to know that he would be the one who would rectify or make reconciliation between two great parties from amongst the Muslims when they were in dispute and at the point of war. It was the succession of Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma that diffused that conflict and allowed the Muslims to be united under one Khalifa. Then he says that Al-Hasan, he was the grandson of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the leader of the Muslims and the son of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was born in the 15th of Ramadan in the 3rd year of the Hijrah, and he died in Medina and was buried in Al-Baqi', the cemetery in Medina, in Rabi al-Awwal in the 50th year of the Hijrah. As for his brother Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, also the grandson of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and beloved of him, He was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he was born in the month of Sha'ban in the fourth year of the Hijrah. And he was killed in Karbala on the 10th of Muharram, which has been taken as a day of innovation by the people of innovation, claiming to express their sorrow for Al-Husayn. And he has nothing to do with them. But he was killed in the 10th of Muharram in the 61st year of the Hijrah. The next point we have here, maybe how many points remaining? 80, 81, 82? Anyway, we can try to take some of the remaining points, at least part of it. The next point, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentions, concerns the 10 people who are promised paradise and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people identifying them by name as being the people of paradise. He says in point number 80, وَنَشْهَدُ لِلْعَشَرَ بِالْجَنَّةِ كَمَا شَهِدَ لَهُمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that we also bear witness for the 10 that they are guaranteed paradise as witness was given for them by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعُمَرُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعُثْمَانُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعَلِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَتَلْحَى فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالزُّبَيْرُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَعَدٌ في الجنة والسعيد في الجنة وعبد الرحمن بن عوف في الجنة وأبو عبيدة بن الجراح في الجنة. يعني ذكر أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان العلي تلها أن الزبير سعد السعيد عبد الرحمن بن عوف and أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. He mentioned them specifically by name that each of them would be in the paradise. In point number 81, the Imam al-Qudama says, وكل من شهد له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة شهدنا له بها. And everyone who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم testified to the fact that they will be in paradise, we follow him in suit, and we likewise testify to the fact that these people are the people of paradise. فقوله, like he's saying, الحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة. That الحسن والحسين, the two sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, that they are two leaders or masters of the youth of the people of paradise. So as the Prophet ﷺ testified that they are the people of paradise, likewise we also testify specifically for those who have been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ as being people of paradise. وَقَوْلُهُ لِثَابِتْ ibn Qais, and also the saying of the Prophet ﷺ to Thabit ibn Qais رضي الله عنه, إِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that verily he is of the people of paradise. This is a testimony, a shahada from the Messenger of Allah, and we also testify likewise that he's of the people of paradise. And the final point of this section, Al-Imam al-Qudama says, وَلَا نَجْزُمْ لِأَحَدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِجَنَّةٍ وَلَا نَارٍ إِلَّا مَنْ جَزَمَ لَهُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَكِنَّ نَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُسِيِّ. That we don't say, يعني, definitely, we don't make any definite or statement concerning any one of the Ahlul Qibla, that is the Muslims, that they are guaranteed paradise or that they would definitely be in the hellfire, except those whom the Prophet ﷺ mentioned with certainty that they would be in the paradise or the hellfire. But we have hope for the Muhsin, the people who do good. We hope, due to their good, we hope, we have hope for them that they will be in the paradise. And we have fear upon those, the doers of evil. We have fear for them that they may be punished in the hellfire. And the first point that the Shaykh mentions concerning this section is the making, the bearing of witness or testifying for anyone that they will be in the paradise or the hellfire. الشهادة بالجنة والنار. He says that testifying for anyone that they will be in the paradise or the hellfire, making a definite firm statement that anyone would be in the paradise or the hellfire, is not something that can be done by the intellect, by the aql. The intellect has no role to play in such a determination, but it is based exclusively and totally upon the shara, the legislated matters, that is, that which has been revealed in the Quran or in the Sunnah. So whoever the legislator has testified for them that they will be in paradise or that they will be in the hellfire, we also testify likewise. And whoever he has not mentioned, whoever has not been mentioned, then we don't mention. But we have hope for the doers of good, and we have fear for the people who do evil. This shahada, or testifying that somebody will be in the hellfire or the paradise, it is of two types. Aam or aama shahada, aama and shahada khasa. The general shahada and the special shahada. فالعامة الشهادة عامة or general shahada, it is that which is related to a description, such as that we testify that every believer will be in paradise. Yani a description of iman, a person who described with iman, this is a general description. We make a general shahada for the people of iman. Yani the people of iman will be in paradise. And likewise, every kafir, that he will be in the hellfire. We can say that whoever fits this description of kufr, then we say generally, there is a general testimony that those people will be in the hellfire. And likewise, other such descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a reason or a cause, a means for entering the paradise or entering the hellfire. Those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned as the descriptions of the people of paradise, we say in general, the people who are described with those descriptions are the people of paradise. And those descriptions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as the description of the people of the hellfire, kufr and shirk and nifaq and so on, then we also mention that there's a general testimony or statement that the people who contain those descriptions would be in the hellfire. As for al-shahada al-khasa, or the special or specific testimony, it is related to the personality, yani to a particular person, specific person, like the testimony for a particular person whom the Prophet ﷺ mentioned will be in paradise, or a particular person that he mentioned will be in the hellfire. And we don't make any specific reference to the people of paradise or the people of hellfire, except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has specifically pointed out. The people who have been specifically pointed out as the people of paradise are many. They are many. And from amongst them are al-ashra al-mubashirun bil jannah, the 10 people who are promised or given the good news of paradise. These people are given this particular title, the 10 people who are given the good news of paradise, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them specifically together as 10 in a hadith which has been mentioned, and the names of each of them was mentioned as the people of paradise, including Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, and so on, as we mentioned previously. Inshallah, we'll stop here. There's just a little few points remaining, but and there's some mention of the biographies of the remaining 6 members of the 10 people promised paradise. In any case, yani we'll continue in the next lecture, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, or perhaps maybe we should finish in case we don't have a next lecture. Quickly, let me just quickly say, here, the Shaykh says, in brief, he mentions the hadith that the author mentioned in the text of the book, the 10 people who promised paradise, and so authentic hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others. And then he says, Talha, who is Ibn Ubaidullah, and he was one of the 10 first 8 people who embraced Islam. He was killed on the Yawm al-Jamal, the Battle of the Camel, in the year of Jumada, on the month of Jumada al-Akhira, in the 36th year of the Hijrah, and he was 64 years old. Al-Zubayr, he is Al-Zubayr ibn al-Awam. He actually went away from the scene at the time of the Yawm al-Jamal, the battle of the camel. But he was killed later in the 36th year of the Hijrah when he was 67. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, died in the year 32 of the Hijra, while he was 72 years old, and buried in Al-Baqiya, the cemetery in Medina. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he was the first one to shoot an arrow fi sabilillah, yani in jihad fi sabilillah. He died in a place called Al-Aqiq, which is a short distance, a few miles outside of Medina, and he was brought to Medina and buried in Baqi' in the 55th year of the Hijra at the age of 82. Sa'd ibn Zayd, he was also one of the early people who came to Islam. He died in Aqiq also, and was brought into Medina and buried in Medina in the 51st year of the Hijra, approximately 70 something years old. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, he was also one of the first people to come to Islam. He died in Urdun, in Jordan, from plague in the 18th year of the Hijra at the age of 58. And then he mentions many of those people who were also promised paradise outside of the tent is the hadith of Hassan al-Hussein and the hadith of Thabit ibn Qais, where the Prophet ﷺ is reported in Bukhari, said, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَلَكِنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that verily you are not of the people of the hellfire. He said to Thabit radiallahu anhu, verily you are not of the people of the hellfire, but in fact you are the people of paradise. And then the Shaykh mentions of those people who are promised or who are guaranteed the hellfire, either in the Quran or the Sunnah, is Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and his wife Jamil, who was the sister of Abu Sufyan, and this is based on the saying in the Quran, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. And also of those who are specifically mentioned as being of the people of hellfire is the uncle of the Prophet Abu Talib, based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ahwan ahla an-nar azaban Abu Talib wa huwa munta'il bina'alain yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu, that the least of the punished people or the people of the hellfire would be Abu Talib, and he would be fitted with two sandals that would be boiling to such an extent that they would cause his brains to boil. And the exact reference for this hadith in the exact narration in Al-Bukhari and Muslim for this hadith, or another narration of it from Nu'man ibn Bashir, is similar, that the least of the punishment of the people of the hellfire would be a person who there would be hot coals put at his feet, both of his feet, and it would cause his brains to fry or to boil. And also of those people who were mentioned specifically as of the people of hellfire is Amr ibn Amir ibn Luhay al-Khaza'i, who the Prophet ﷺ said, رَأَيْتُهُ يَجُرُّ أَمْعَاءَهُ فِي النَّارِ, he said, I saw him dragging his intestines or his guts in the hellfire. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So these are some of the people who are mentioned specifically, either as being of the people of paradise, people of hellfire. And other than those who are confirmed in the Quran or in the Sunnah, we shouldn't mention that any person, no matter how good their deeds may appear to be, is guaranteed the paradise. But we say in general that the believers, the people of taqwa, the people, the righteous people and so on, will be in paradise. And likewise, the people of hellfire, no matter how evil somebody's deeds may be, we shouldn't declare or classify somebody to be of the people of hellfire. As long as they are alive, it's a possibility they may change and correct their life. But we just say in general that the people who are described with such descriptions as kufr and shirk and wickedness and so on, these are the descriptions generally of the people of hellfire. Otherwise, we bear witness that the paradise is for those whom the Quran or the authentic Sunnah has mentioned, and likewise the hellfire. And besides that, we remain silent. This is the end of what we can cover today. And it's very possible that we may be traveling at the end of this week, and we may not have a class next week. In case that should happen, then we will continue, inshaAllah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, after my return, with the remaining topics, which are not that many, yani, topic related to the ruling of those who curse the companions of the Prophet the rights of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, those who slander them, what is the position of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah concerning Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu, the subject of al-Khilafah, the rulership of the Muslims in general, the ruling concerning obedience to the Khalifa, abandoning the people of Bid'ah, arguing and disputing in deen, the signs of the people of Bid'ah and some of those groups, the subject of Khilaf, any difference of opinion amongst the Muslims, and Ijma, consensus and its ruling, and Taqleed, blind following. These are the end of the subjects of the book, and inshallah we will try to complete them immediately upon return if I travel. بإذن الله تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Sisters sent two questions. One, is there any hijra after the conquest of Mecca? For example, if someone leaves the land of the disbelievers to go to the Muslim countries for Allah's sake, is it correctly called hijra? It is indeed hijra. And hijra is the linguistic as well as the shar'i meaning of hijra is applicable to the person in this day and time who leaves any land of the disbelievers and goes to the land of the Muslims with the intention of escaping with their deen or going to the land of the Muslims for the sake of Allah. The term hijra is applicable. How long was Hassan's khilafah? It was approximately 6 months, as the Shaykh said, completing the 30 years prophesied by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.